What are the essentials of a PMS? Process of defining and setting appropriate goals. Goals have to be very clear cut, smart, as you know, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic and time bound. And once these goals are set, you monitor the performance, set up key performance indicators, identification and allocation of resources to meet KPIs. It's very nice to say that I want results from you, but I must also support you with the resources. And those resources can be not only money, machines or materials, but something more than that. Human motivation is one of the biggest resources in enhancing performance. Now, it's just because I delegate work to you, just because you're doing your work, it doesn't mean that you'll keep on performing better. Every human being needs certain amount of stroking, emotional stroking. He needs to feel wanted in the company. So he needs to feel comfortable there. Now, that is another aspect which is one of the resources which we talk about here. Periodic evaluation and review mechanism. This is, I don't have to repeat it. Effective feedback and reward system to motivate and reward system to motivate the team. Further, the process of defining and setting appropriate goals. Now we take the next one. The role of HR in PMS. The role of HR in PMS. Let's understand one thing. PMS is initiated by HR, but it is not the domain of only HR department. Every person, every user department, the whole organization has to be involved in the PMS. In many places I've seen HR takes the entire burden. And to be very frank, with due respect to HR, many of them do not know the domain expertise of certain functional areas. So as a result of that, the PMS is not properly structured as per the requirements of the department. Nothing against HR, but if the HR is not having a proper thing, it's important that all of them collaborate and integrate. The integration leads to a robust type of a role for the HR. The HR needs a tremendous amount of support from the people who are using the PMS. Build a conducive environment. Conducive means it should be very easy, enabling type of an environment. Wherein there's a lot of give and take, informal things. There should be proper information coming to them as to how to set up the PMS, what sort of parameters they need in a department A, what other parameters they need in department B. Those have to be very clearly understood. Providing opportunities for employees' development and growth. HR has to ensure that the PMS designing should be such that there is an opportunity for people who are involved in the performance to grow. Enabling maximum participation and involving involvement of employees. I would say optimum participation. People have to participate willingly and then make things happen. Enhance motivation, obviously, that's a role of HR. Enable promotion of superior performance roles as per competency mapping, realistic and achievable benchmarks. So when somebody does very well, HR has to ensure that they put in a word, they notice it and they make it happen, right? Features of PMS. Its title is case study. It simply involves a few points are here. It involves participation at all levels. Like I told you earlier, clearly aligned expectations. All the expectations have to be aligned with each other. One cannot have an expectation which is different from the others. So all the expectations are integrated with each other. Okay. Written and periodic feedback to employees. Managers to perform competency assessments. Involves collaborative goal setting and self-assessment. The self-assessment is very, very important. It makes the employee feel involved. It makes him responsible. Now, I must be able to assess myself so that I learn the skill of how to assess. Self-assessment, sometimes I may overdo it, I may underplay, but over a period of time when I do self-assessment and feedback is given to me, I would be in a position to do a proper self-assessment which is in line with the reality of my performance. So that is something which we need to encourage. What are the emerging trends in PMS? At the time of writing the book, okay, technology enabled. Now today PMS is software oriented. It's not manual. So packages are there. And through that we are helping. Just as we have HRIS, Human Resources Information Systems. Promotes alliances in global environment. It relevant to competitive global economy. More control to employees on decisions. Companies to bring in global perspective. Telecommuting a reality. And shifting in the worldwide professional and skilled workers. Okay, now this is a common thing that is happening today. PMS, a comprehensive system, it focuses on employee development, clear communication to employees, monitor and support for effective achievement, evaluation basis driven by performance plan, appropriate reward and recognition, enable improvement of unacceptable performance. Now this is a thing I'd like to talk about. Now what is unacceptable? Unacceptable is not just measurables, it's also immeasurables. Some organizations, they give importance just to output in terms of tangible. I'm asking you to produce 100 units an hour and you are producing 100 units an hour. They are happy with that. How I produce is something which is not given much of weightage. So when this becomes a norm, this is given more importance than the how part of it or the why part of it, there is a likelihood that over a period of time, unacceptable practices may come in. People would complete the target, but they would not do it the way it is to be done as for the process. So once that is noticed, it needs to be corrected. So one of the roles of a good PMS is to tell the management, measurable alone is not the accountability. There are other things, otherwise things will go unacceptable. Imagine a service sector like a bank. Imagine a personal banker sitting at the counter. He has a target to say service 100 customers in a day. And the bank is making him accountable for the number 100, not the quality of service. So what would happen? At any cost, he will service 100 people with unacceptable behavior. Now that is something that's unpardonable in a service sector. So the organization also needs to know that it is not just the number crunching. It's something in a service sector, particularly customer is more important. Out of 100 people whom he's servicing, how many are truly satisfied? How many would like to come back to the bank again and again? So these unacceptable practices have to be noticed first when feedback is coming from customers or noticed by the senior manager, and then that needs to be corrected. So in a PMS system, this has to be factored. In short, reassessment, rationalization of organization structure. Okay, now what do you mean by that? As changes are taking place within the organization and also in the industry outside, you have to learn to reset your organization so that it is falling in line with the competitive status in the market. Every time I'm restructuring my organization, let's say it's a tall structure, I make it flat, or I try to do some matrix organization, all of you will agree, the human resources is the first to get affected. Redesignation, your whole profile changes. So when those things happen, then you have to ensure that the PMS is also modified accordingly. Right? It's an ongoing process. PMS is not something which I create and I just put it across and it's over. It's a cyclical process. So PMS should focus upon establishment of clear expectations through understanding essential functions, help employees understand the how they contribute, measurement of work, identification of barriers to performance management, building a healthy employee-supervisor relationship. All this is a repeat, I've already mentioned this. The philosophy, what's the basic idea, what's the big philosophy, everything has got a philosophy behind it. Why do I do this? What's the larger picture? It support management philosophy and contribute to the business plan achievement through emphasize personal development. The purpose of a PMS, the philosophy behind the PMS is emphasize personal development, the development of the individual, the employee. It is by doing the work in a certain structured way, there is a personal growth. It is not about he growing as an organizational entity. There are some personal qualities he starts imbibing. Many of you listening to me will agree that the culture to which a person belongs, company culture, that habits and the behaviors that you incorporate in the culture, over a period of time, it becomes a part of your daily culture at home also. If I'm working in a very structured, good organization, wherein things are very positive in terms of its culture, day by day, I'm into that behavior. And that behavior is there for say 8 hours or 10 hours I'm working in the organization. So if I'm there for say 8 or 10 years, will that behavior not become a part of my personal life also? It would. So that is a personal growth, personal development, which is amazing. Improve communication by constantly refining whatever you're talking and clarifying things. Develop leadership. Foster teamwork. Facilitate succession planning. What is succession planning? Year after year, promotions are taking place. People are handling junior jobs, go to the middle management people go to the senior level. Vacancies keep happening. So when vacancies are happening, I must prepare it well in advance to see that who is going to sit into that place. As I'm talking to you, one of the biggest private banks in India is going through a succession plan right now. They are doing a headhunting for the CEO who's retiring in October 2020, right? So that is a succession plan. To improve organizational effectiveness, overall effectiveness of the organization, to improve that, that is one of the philosophies of having a PMS. Continuing further, support management philosophy and contribute to the business plan achievement through focus on bottom line performance. Bottom line is profits. Achieve results while modeling, reinforcing core value behaviors. There are certain behaviors that are expected in an organization based on what the organization's vision and the mission is. So those expected behaviors, which are a part of the whole organization, needs to be given a lot of impetus. Okay? And through that, the results will come. For example, let's say the organization says that whoever comes to our organization from outside, at the reception level, we must treat them like a king. Without even asking questions, you must be able to entertain them in a proper way. That is a behavior that should come all encompassing with anybody who's there in the company, not only the receptionist. So it's a type of a behavior that is overall expected from anybody in the company, right? Communicate clear objectives for reinforcing excellence, setting challenging yet achievable performance expectations. The key features of PMS, it helps development of vision, mission and ethical values. Rather, PMS reinforces it. We create the vision, mission and other value statements, and PMS ensures that it is reinforced and made little more credible. That's very important. Congruence of organization and individual goals. Congruence, you must have read this management by objectives in principles of management, MBO. Now there, what are we doing? We are integrating organization goals and my personal goals. So this PMS is one of the tools through which these two are integrated very effectively. Performance management as a key tool, regular tracking of the progress, promotes continual improvement in the progress, measurement of results directly linked to the rewards, right? How do I implement the performance management? A clear organization definition of performance and ongoing communication establishing clear expectation. Already mentioned this, I'm running through the slides. Training and development program to improve performance. As I told you earlier, year after year, my performance has to improve. That is the expectation of the company in terms of output. And with that, I have to improve my skills, my capabilities, my competencies. So I need to go through training and development, right? Objective evaluation system to review employee performance. Objective evaluation system means it's not something which is biased. Based on the performance reward, based on the performance feedback, not on the personal biases, right? Method of recognizing and rewarding performance. Further, significance of PMS, it clarifies organization's strategic plan. The business process improvement takes place because of a PMS. In a PMS, carefully structured, properly implemented, gradually what will happen? The business process, the various steps of doing a business, it will start improving. We can refine the business process, the ones which are outdated for the future, we remove them and new processes come in. All this is possible only when people are willing to go with the process improvement, right? Human process improvement leads to business process improvement, right? Talent management and personal development takes place, validation of talent acquisition and work life. What is validation? Accepting and agreeing and giving them the importance. Yes, you matter. That is validation. It starts with self-validation. I validate myself, then I validate others. I'm accepting, yes, you're doing a good job. This validation, giving them that due, what is expected, right? improved adaptability and individual relationship and management. Adaptability means a certain, every organization, every one of us when we work, we consider the organization to be a formal entity. So there's a certain amount of guarded approach. So which means beyond a point I may not want to stretch. So I'll hesitate. This is human nature. In adaptability, whatever is the climate of the organization, culture is at the top, climate is a working environment. I learn the climate and its influence on me and I adapt. I try to go in line with that. This is possible when you have a good PMS system. Improved adaptability and individual relationship management is possible. This is something which is very, very remarkably good about PMS, a good PMS. Sustainable competitive advantage and culture building. This, of course, is a repetition. What is the outcome of a PMS? Cost containment. What is the cost? It is not just money. Nuisance value. So while I'm improving on human resources all the time, I'll find that the overall cost of the company, not only money, not only machines, everything, time, etc., it gets contained. We optimally we use the cost. We incur the cost. Not high, not low. Reward and compensation linked to performance. Optimum compensation ratio across organization. Optimum compensation ratio means the input I'm giving, the output I'm giving, for that I'm getting a compensation which is actually fair and square. Not too much, not too less. Okay? Quality efforts and outputs. Ingraining quality work practices and mindset. Quality is a part of organization culture. Now the word quality has got introduced in the slide. When we say quality means it's an experience. It is an initiative which people take to improve whatever they keep on doing. So all of you will agree, if there's a proper performance management system, the quality becomes an inbuilt attitude of an individual. So quality cannot be taught, it is caught. How do you catch it? You catch it by your own willingness. How is the willingness created? When you are in an environment where you feel free and nice, where you feel supportive, you'll be willing to do anything. Right? Innovative products and services are an outcome of the PMS. Managerial nurturing of ideas. Promotion of employees as entrepreneurs. This is another amazing thing. I find that one of my employees is having some bright ideas. He would like to do something of his own. In organization, we have this term called intrapreneur. I-N-T-R-E. Not E. So that person is given all the support and independence and autonomy to start promoting himself into that. Now this is possible only when that person is showing the innovative spark and also the freedom to do it and the willingness to do it. Right? So that promotes it. Building talent is a continual competitive advantage. Key activities for robust PMS. What are the things I need to do to have a PMS intact? A very good well-working PMS. I need to have a proper job description and performance plans which includes establishment of KRA and KPI. This is the starting point. We have learned this topic on job evaluation, job in HRM in semester 1, right? So there is a mention about how a job description is created. If the job description is very clear, the person who's holding the job knows exactly this is what I want to do. That is the starting point. And the performance plans. Performance plans are for two things. One is KRA, KPA. KRA is more strategic in nature. Key result areas. These are the areas where I wanted to produce results. See, any function that you and I do, any function, any job that you and I do, has got two parts. One is the core, the other one is supportive. While I'm talking to you, my core function is to take the topic, simplify it and put it across to you. The support function is my colleague who's sitting behind the camera, the institute that has given this room. So these are all the support functions. Now my key result area will be, I need to deliver the lecture in such a way that most of you are getting the lecture the best way possible to understand the topic. That's my KRA. Right? Now the support functions, if my KRA is focusing on the wrong direction, then the deliverables, which is the lecture, may go for a toss. So please understand one thing, that you have to identify in your own function, whatever you're doing, two parts. Which is the core, which I need to do, must have. That is a where place where I'm accountable. So KRA is a key result area where I'm accountable no matter what happens. The broader part of it. Now within the KRA, there are performance indicators. So every task I'm doing, there's an indicator. How many minutes am I taking to cover the chapter number one, for example? This could be one of the KPI for me. I'm just giving a hypothetical example, okay? So when you actually get down to the work of implementing a KRA, the KPIs come into picture. The KPIs are the measurables which are noted down. When the KPIs are in line with the KRAs, you've done a good performance. Right? Right selection process takes place because of the performance. A good PMS will ensure that this is what we expect of the employees who are walking into the company. The prospect is for them to become employees, they have to have these qualities. So the selection process is very clear. Negotiation of expectation reward, continuous coaching and feedback, periodic review meetings, linkage of rewards to performance indicators, continual guidance to employees and exit interview discussions. Exit interview is very common these days. It was not there earlier. When an employee is leaving the company, he is given the luxury of having an exit interview wherein he or she gives a feedback to the company about many things. A candid feedback. A free-flowing feedback that these are the things that are good, these are the things that needs to be improved, etc., etc., etc. So every feedback has got plus and minus. So you take the plus and the minus and start building up something better than before. Right? What are the challenges in implementing PMS? Traditional processes are time-consuming. If you stick on to the old way of thinking and say this is the way it should be done, then it will become very difficult to put the PMS. PMS works best in a very open culture where everybody from the top management till down the line, everybody is willing to be a part of the PMS. It is not only for some people. Like I told you in the beginning, it's a systemic integration. Everybody should be part of it, right? No clear improvement can happen if there is a certain amount of haziness. Difficult to link up theory and practice. All that I'm talking about is right now about what needs to be done. But when you actually start doing the PMS, there is some tweaking you need to do. In reality, we need to tweak theory. And that is a real performance. Right? Dealing with challenging role of the manager, balancing the performance expectations in the reward system is quite difficult because reward system is something on which people are very emotional. Right? So when you say that I'm rewarding you based on this performance, if the communication is not clear, if the PMS itself is not properly structured, there is certain amount of vagueness in certain aspects of the PMS, the employee may feel that I'm not getting rewarded properly. This can happen in a culture which is not very clear, which has its own haziness, right? In measurements of results, it's very tricky because results of an effort, like I told you earlier, effort is intangible, results are tangible. So when you're measuring the results, there is bound to be a certain amount of human error, and by that we may land up by default not rewarding a genuine performance because we are not measuring it properly. It could happen. Defining business plans, if it's not properly done, we have a problem. When I say business plans, mean business plans are dynamic in nature. When business plans keep changing because of the demands of the market, obviously the PMS will also keep changing. So it has to go in line with the business plans. If the business plans are not having a link with the PMS, we have a problem, right? Setting up a learning culture in the organization, we have to see that the organization is in a continuous learning process. There was a time when training and development was a luxury. It was seen as a cost. Today, training and development and learning is seen as an investment. Just as you're allocating funds for manufacturing, you're allocating funds for marketing, we are allocating equal funds throughout the year for learning and development. It's become an initiative which is being driven by all companies, good progressive companies today. So I have to ensure that a learning culture should be there. If overall they don't learn, from the top to the bottom, everybody has to be in the learning culture, then it will not work. A few people learn, they come out with the new ideas, they go and talk to the top management. Top management says, sorry, we can't do it. That's not a learning culture. Learning culture is all encompassing. Okay, that needs investment. Enduring fairness in the decision-making process is very important. If the fairness is not there, there is a problem. Limitations of traditional PMS. Traditional PMS are the ones which we were doing earlier. Incorrect or poor selection of metrics. We don't know what to measure, how to measure. This is the old story of old companies when they introduced PMS. Setting up poor targets, sheer lack of transparency, performance metrics lack business relevance, inadequate dialogue and open conversations, lack of demonstrated consequences of good or bad performance. All these points which are given here, according to my experience as a trainer, I've always seen when the organization top is not very clear, they are half-hearted in a PMS, this happens. What are the emerging trends? Employee well-being is becoming an integral part of the performance management discussions. Employee well-being. Gone are the days when you say that you have to keep on working and producing profits. Today we are talking about work-life balance. So in the work-life balance, the employee well-being is important. Even on a Monday morning, you must feel like going to the office willingly and feel good about it. Right? Performance management will become meaningful and human. Performance management will focus on how to make employees and managers more effective. Artificial intelligence has now arrived, and this will enhance the performance management in a much better way. Okay. Simplification of ratings, simplification of formal performance and review process, performance and compensation related discussions are separated. Performance is what I've done. What is promised, I perform. And compensation is something that is to be given separately for whatever I'm worth. Now these two are related. At the same time, they need to be very carefully managed. Changes in the goal setting process might take place in the future, the way you're doing a goal setting. Increased frequency of coaching conversations. This is happening now regularly. Increased frequency of developmental conversations. I'm driving this for a few companies as a trainer. Removal of forced ranking of employees, one against the other. So there's no comparison in A and B. Absolute terms, each one is unique. That new thing has started coming in now. Evolution of PMS, how it started. Annual performance appraisal used to take place. Key traits, job knowledge we were evaluating. Expertise, sincerity, dynamism, punctuality, leadership. Loyalty, confidence and report. This is a starting point. Earlier we used to have only performance appraisal. I appraise you on whatever you have promised to do this year. At the end of the year I appraise you. And then I do it and give you feedback. And later on the other things happen. The difference between appraisal and performance management is, performance management is broader. Appraisal is a part of it. Okay. Formal written update to employees about performance periodically. Reviewing officer has superseding power over reporting officer. This is a common thing that is happening. Okay. The person who's reviewing your performance appraisal. Now in many companies there are two people. I am reporting to X. My review is done by Y. So the reviewer will supersede. He will overtake or he will overrule my own reporting manager who actually knows my skill. This is something that was happening. It is still happening in many companies now. Employees given opportunity to self-describe their accomplished training needs. Confidential. This is a growth. This is how the whole thing has evolved. Overall performance management system implementation. Focus on performance planning, review and development. Point number four. Key issues, factors affecting the performance, training and development needs of an employee. Need for setting up of fresh targets and discussion on rating. Much more detailed than before. If you take one and you take four, this is much more detailed. And the fifth one is importance of team building, culture building, use of quality circle, transparency, linkage of strategic business goals and PMS, which means it's become more integrated with the other processes. Performance appraisal used to be in isolation. HR department, user department, on where the person is working, and it was done with it. But why he is doing what he is doing? How does it affect the whole organization? How does the organization affect him? All this was not done before. But now with the PMS, everything is integrated. Right? Key differences in performance appraisal and performance management, which I was just saying sometime back. These points are there. Performance appraisal is approach and focus top down. It's a top down approach I keep on appraising people who are below me and I get the results. Performance management is objective setting and review is a mutual process. Two-way traffic. Under performance appraisal, limited involvement and contribution of employees in defining objectives. Employees have very less say when it comes to performance appraisal. It used to be like that, but in performance management, high level of involvement and engaging of reporting employees. Performance appraisal used to be usually be an annual review, in some cases once and twice in a year. Here it's a frequent discussion and dialogues. It's dynamic. Limited rating framework, here there are more use of subjective analysis and less use of rating. We see the overall person, not the results alone which he has done, right? Focus on personality and behavior traits in performance appraisal. Here we look at beyond the performance and the personality and the behavior, there are value systems. There's a quantifiable objectives and potential in the person. We look at the complete individual, not just what he's supposed to do on a narrow basis. Direct link with compensation, incentives and annual increments. That is performance appraisal. Performance management is indirect relationship to compensation. Your compensation will be depending upon a number of factors, not just your output and that end of it, unlike performance appraisal. There's a need for robust PMS and reward system for attracting, retaining and motivating employees, for promotion of healthy work environment. It's a mechanism to identify and reward exceptional performance, to evaluate performance and determine reward motivation for employees, adequate consideration to non-monetary aspects. Right? Principles for reward system design. Some points are given in this flowchart. There should be a business strategic vision. The vision obviously leads to objectives, as we know, and these objectives take you go to critical outputs. Those outputs which if you do or don't do will have a problem. They have to be very carefully done. Those outputs are the backbone of the whole operations, right? These critical outputs, there are financial aspect, customer side, process and employee, which means these critical output when it comes to finance, certain things in finance have to be done. They are critical. Certain things in customer, with the customer has to be done. They are critical and so on. And that leads to KPI, key performance indicators. They should consider organization, departmental and personal performance indicators. On this side, the supporting blocks, organization factors, departmental factors and personal factors, these three impact this KPI. I may be a good worker, but my department, I may have a problem, or with the boss whom I'm reporting, or it could be my own personal factor, my personality. The fixed compensation down is also one of the indicators that is contributing to your KPI. So KPI will be this, the last block that is there at the end. Types of reward and key features. Basic pay and variable pay we talk about today. Basic pay is a minimum amount of for work, fixed component of pay, address and basic expectation. Variable pay is a motivating pay, achieves greater savings and efficiency for organization and employee. It bears commercial risk if the demand for the product fails. So variable pay is depending upon how well the organization is moving in the business. You being a part of the contributor to the business, the variable pay will be varying depending upon the health of the organization in terms of sales and profits. So they're very common today, fixed plus variable. In many cases, I've seen people, they get more variable than fixed, but in quite a few cases also, variable is less and the fixed is more. It's quite tricky, it's quite challenging for the employee to run his home with this type of thing, but it has come to stay. Third one is performance related pay, applicable to middle level managers, motivates risk of no results, motivates risk for no results for those not rewarded and lack of teamwork. Okay, for middle managers and above, we have performance related pay, which means they look at overall factors. If you're a branch manager of a bank, for example, you are subjected to performance reward, performance related pay. How has the branch performed? How many new customers they've got? How many mercantile customers they've got? Current accounts. Okay. How many new employees who have come, have retained? How many of them are adding to the business? Now, all that thing under the branch manager is a part of his performance related pay. Okay. Next comes key objectives of reward system. Gain commitment and support. of the employees for achievement of the overall strategic goals of the organization, attract the right talent and retain it, motivation of employees, ensure that the employees managers take calculated risk, ensure compliance with the legal regulations, ensure high levels of ethics and ease of administration. Now, when I am giving a reasonably good reward system in line with the PMS, this is the outcome. We are doing it because these are the things that will happen. Okay? Knowledge-based rewards paid to employees who achieve new skill levels. This is a very common thing today. You are doing a type of work and suddenly a new type of work you need to do for which you don't have the skill. Now you are pushing yourself through training and development to develop the skills. You are changing your behavior also. Now that effort you are taking is rewarded in terms of knowledge-based rewards. Okay? Commissions, sales staff, risk may represent sales through fraudulent methods. Now ensure that I mentioned this sometime back. I might perform as per the company's expectation, that being the main indicator. But doing that, by doing that, I may do it in a fraudulent way. I may do some cheating. I may do something illegal. So that part of it has to be properly controlled and checked. Profit-based reward, employee remuneration linked to the profits earned by the organization for senior management. And the last one is stock options, ESOPs, as you call it. They'll give you some shares at a certain price with a holding period of say 2 years, 3 years or whatever, and then you can sell it. That becomes a very good motivation for employees. It's a part of the PMS reward system. So with that, I'm ending this chapter number 1. Happy listening, happy viewing, and all the best.